Chapter 2. The following Thursday, I arrived at the time traveller's house a little late. The other gentlemen were already waiting for me. "Where's the time traveller?" I asked them. Just then, the door opened wide, and the time traveller stood in the entrance. His jacket was muddy, and there were green stains on his sleeves. His hair looked greyer than last week. His face was pale, and he was bleeding from a cut on his chin. His eyes were half closed in the bright light from the room. He seemed to be suffering when he entered. I noticed he was not wearing shoes, just muddy, blood-stained socks. We all stared at him in silence. The time traveller said nothing, but sat down heavily and took a drink.
"What's the matter?" asked the medical man. "Where have you been?"
"I'm all right," the time traveller replied. "Wait a moment and I'll tell you. First, I must get clean and change my clothes." He stood up, and as he walked across the room, I noticed he didn't put his full weight on his left foot.
"Where do you suppose he's been?"
asked the very young man when the time traveller had left the room.
"He'll tell us he's been time travelling," said Philby.
"As if we would believe that!"
The time traveller returned to the room in clean clothes with a fresh face, and the journalist spoke.
"I hear you've been travelling into next week," he said.
He hadn't been at the previous dinner.
"I'm saying nothing until I have food in my stomach," said the time traveller.
"Just one question," I said. "Have you been time travelling?"
"Yes," said the time traveller.
When the time traveller had finished eating, he apologised.
"I'm sorry, but I was starving," he said. "My story is very long. I will tell you, but please, don't interrupt me. You may not believe everything I tell you, but I promise it's the truth. I was in my laboratory at 4 o'clock this afternoon, but since then I have lived 8 days. I'm exhausted, but I want to tell you before I forget it and go to sleep. Do you agree?"
"We do," we all replied.
This is what he told us. "As you know, I have been developing my time machine for some time. Well, it was finally ready for its first journey by 10 o'clock this morning. I climbed into the seat and put one hand on each lever. I felt both fear and excitement because I had no idea what to expect. I pushed gently on the lever that would take me into the future. Then I pulled it back cautiously and glanced at the clock on the wall. It said 4 o'clock. The light was a little darker, but apart from that, nothing had changed. I had travelled forward 6 hours. I felt more confident now, and I pushed the lever again, harder this time. The room went dark, then light, then dark, as the days and nights passed by. I pushed the lever further, and the room disappeared from around me. Everything looked like shadows. And then I was travelling so fast, I wasn't sure what was happening. I was waiting for the crash that I was sure would come when I stopped. I was no longer in a building, and I watched the sun shoot across the sky. The moon was changing shape, and everything was grey, and then a bright blue. I saw trees growing and dying, buildings appearing and disappearing. I felt the machine tremble under me, and I started to notice massive buildings. I thought about how to stop the machine. Maybe it would explode, but I had to take the risk.
I pulled the other lever with all my strength, and the time machine tipped over. I was thrown into the air, and I landed on soft grass. It was hailing heavily. I sat up, and I looked around at a garden of brightly coloured flowers. I could see the shadows of massive buildings through the hail. I remained there for a moment, but then I thought, why am I sitting here in the hail? And I got up. In front of me was a massive white statue. It was a huge sphinx, and its wings were spread wide open. It stood on a metal platform, smiling down at me. I felt confused. What had I done? What was I doing here? What would I find? Humans? Animals? The hail was stopping, and I began to see the buildings and hills around me more clearly. I panicked and ran back to my time machine, but suddenly the sun came out. Gradually, my courage returned. I heard voices and looked up. I saw, on a kind of terrace, a group of people. They were wearing pale-coloured, soft clothes that moved in the breeze. They were gazing down at me. They didn't seem nervous, only curious. Then I heard more voices approaching me. Some men were running through the bushes near the white sphinx. One came onto the path. He was short, less than 1.5 meters tall. He was wearing a purple top with a belt, no trousers, and sandals on his feet. He was beautiful, but he looked pale and weak. He paused in front of me and laughed. He didn't seem afraid. He turned to the others and spoke in a strange, sweet language. I was soon surrounded by 8 or 10 of these little creatures. They had short, curly hair, tiny ears, and delicate mouths with bright red lips. One man spoke directly to me. I didn't reply, so he came forward and took my hand. Then other creatures started to touch and stroke me. I think they wanted to check if I was real. I wasn't frightened because they were gentle, pretty, and peaceful, almost like children. However, I was worried about the time machine, so I took the levers out and put them in my pocket. I noticed that the hands on the dials were pointing to the year 802,701.